When Don was tasked with leading CLA's higher ed practice way back in 1999, we had all of three clients who, quite frankly, did not even like the firm. They said we didn't know their industry, we didn't know them, and our audit work was purely technical. Don set about changing that, and the rest is, as they say, history. You'll love his funny and insightful stories about how to build true industry specialization through a commitment to knowing and helping our clients, and how in higher ed, it has built a national $20 million practice that continues to provide opportunities for our clients and our people.
Welcome, CLA family. This is the next edition of Industry Forward, a podcast designed to tell stories behind the CLA promise. The focus of Industry Forward is, of course, industry specialization, one of our core beliefs, strategic advantages, and drivers of our business. Today, I have with me Don Loberg, who leads our higher ed practice. I'm looking forward to hearing his story. Before we do that, let's just some quick reminders about industry specialization. It's not about doing our work and specializing in the industry. It's about immersing ourselves in the industry. I know that's the story you're going to hear here. And it's a belief that if we specialize, we'll be better equipped to fulfill the CLA promise, create more opportunities, because we'll know our clients better and naturally help them. So, without further ado, I want to introduce to you Don and allow him to tell his story. Why don't we just start at the beginning, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I graduated from the University of Minnesota with an accounting degree, and I started off thinking, you know, going into SEC was the way to go. That's how you made your money. And when we were in college, that's what the professors told you. So when I left, I was looking for that firm. I landed at a national firm, and they picked me up. And they did some SEC, but they did pretty much everything. So when I started, I'm telling you, it was crazy. In the first year, I counted up, I did audits of 15 different industries. Unfortunately, the work that we did just was not good. I mean, I could tell just from what we were doing, because everybody was doing everything. And unfortunately for me, 2 years into my career, that firm ceased to exist. Why? They got sued because they didn't do their job. They didn't know the industries. So I left that firm. I was lucky enough, my father was a CPA as well. So I'm a second generation CPA. And he picked me up in a small firm. And he gave me a small taste of what nonprofit auditing could be. But I was still doing for-profits and ESOPs and all sorts of things. But I kind of gravitated towards the nonprofit world a little bit. And enjoyed it. Flash forward, my father was retiring, and he asked if I wanted to take the firm. And I said, I'm not ready for this. I'm not part of
the material.
How
many years of experience did you have at that point?
I had 5 years experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here with 5 years experience, and my father's saying, I'll give you the business. And I said, I'm not ready. And I don't even know if I want to do this my whole life. And we found Larson Allen, now CLA, and merged in. So we merged in, and they asked, can you do some for-profit stuff, and can you do some nonprofit stuff? And I said, sure, I'll do my best. And I really, over a period of a year or two, I really gravitated to almost all nonprofit work. I mean, I still did a mall down in Des Moines, Iowa, which was weird because I never went to Des Moines. Mm-hmm. And then I got lucky in my career. I mean, I was bouncing around. Everybody does that. At some point, they're bouncing around trying to figure out, you know, where are they and what's their path. And I was actually ready to leave because I wasn't having fun. And then I got a small taste of a college. Dick Broich, who was my mentor at the time, put me on a college, and it just hit. I mean, it was like, this is pretty cool stuff. One, I'm on campus, so I can feel young again. And two, it was challenging. And it wasn't a box job, very sophisticated type of people that I was working with. And lo and behold, I was into higher ed. And that was just one job. And I had to fight to get on the other job, which was St. John's University at the time. And that excited me even more. So Dick Broich retires. And the firm comes to me and says, hey, we're now into, or we've been into industry specialization, little pieces here and there, but we want you to take on the higher ed group. You're going to lead the higher ed group. And I thought, that's awesome. I'm going to be a leader. I'm what is now termed a managing principal, you know, of an industry. That's fabulous.
So what was, how many years of experience now?
It was about 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
Right in there. So 1999 was...
How many clients did we have?
We had 3 clients total.
Really? How much in the form of revenue from those 3 clients?
90,000.
90,000, 3 clients, yeah. Your big stuff.
Yeah. 90,000. And I have to go further because our realization for those 3 clients, I think, was 39%.
So how did you start? 3 clients. How'd you get the next one?
When
did
you
get the next one?
It wasn't even get the next one. It was, how do I even know who these people are? Because I was working with 2, but I was just kind of a hired gun to a certain extent. So I went and met with all 3 of the clients and just talked to them. And I said, so tell me about what your reaction is to our firm. Tell me what you think about it. And all 3 of them hated us. They said, you're not providing impact. You don't know the industry. And you don't know us. You just do an audit and sign off. And I'll tell you, when they came to me and said, you're the head of higher ed, and I had those 3 interviews, I was terrified already to make that leap. But now I'm terrified because I really think the firm's trying to get rid of me.
So what do you do?
It was, I still love the clients. So I don't know if I'm jumping all in at that point. I'm close, but I thought, I got to take a swing. I got to see if I can make something work. I still remember it. I did my first bid, and it was Luther Seminary locally here. And I went and pitched the client for the audit by myself. And it was the worst decision I could have ever made because my presentation was horrible and I was terrified. I still remember, I think I sweat at least 2 gallons of water sitting in that room in front of a board, you know, group and management.
So what happened?
I kid you not, we won it. And we won it because they...
A horrible presentation, scared to death, and you still won the job.
And they, I think they felt so sorry for me. They gave me the work. I really do.
Hey, however it comes.
Yeah, yeah. No, and we got
it. So now you have 4 clients.
Right, right. And you know, I talked the firm into letting me go to a conference. So I go to a conference thinking maybe I can, you know, get our name out there, and met a person that did not like their audit firm and kind of liked talking to me. So I picked up another client in North Carolina. So I'm in North Carolina in the backwoods doing that audit. And I'm telling you, I felt really good about it, but it was a stretch, you know. It was myself and 2 staff people that I begged to be with me to help, and we did the work.
So early on, you listened to the clients, you focused on client service, you put yourself out there,
yeah,
and. You got on an airplane, mm-hmm. and then you went to a conference and tried to get the name out there. So what was the result? Take us through the next 3, 4, 5 years. What? How did it build?
It became a tornado. I mean, it was fast and furious. I mean, at that point, I'm all in. I've won 2 jobs. I'm like, I'm king. I've got now $150,000 worth of work, and I'm going to lead this practice, and I like doing it. I love the clients and I love the industry. So I'm reading everything I can and trying to figure out how can I immerse myself in the industry a little more and understand the pains and the problems and the celebrations the industry is going through. And I spoke at a couple of conferences or a couple of meetings, and suddenly a couple of people said, you know, I like the way you talk. My auditor or my consultant or whoever it was does not talk like you and actually understand what we're about. So then I picked up a couple more jobs, and that was cool. And then the next year we picked up about 6 jobs, and now we're out of control, right? I'm up to, what, 350, 400,000 in work, and I feel the wheels are coming off the wagon, and I'm begging everybody in the world just to help.
Hmm.
And it wasn't specialization, really. I was a specialized person, but there are people around helping. And then we got an opportunity to bid on some of the big private colleges, and we hit on those too in the third year. So here we are about 4 years in, and things are just starting to roll. So that was awesome. It was a good experience.
So bring us to today. The early years, it's growing quick, it's fast, it's furious. Along the way, the big merger that formed CLA gave it a big shot in the arm because both firms had a higher ed practice. So what are we today?
This year in 2018, I'm projecting we'll have $20 million in sales or revenue.
That's a far cry from 90,000.
Absolutely.
So how many years from conception to now?
It'll be 19 years since we started to really started because we had done, you know, a few colleges for a few years, you know, for 20 years. But we really it was just another audit, and we sent audit specialists out. So it really was a ramp up. And when the two firms came together, we were matched so well because we were doing all the privates.
Mm-hmm.
And the other firm was doing all the government stuff. So when we came together, it was like
CLA,
kids in a
we're
candy
doing it
store.
All. Yeah.
Right.
We've got all the capabilities, all right. The skills.
And people.
Well, we had people, except there was an era we didn't. And I recall just a few years ago, Don, that we had to build a team rather rapidly. Maybe a moment, if you wouldn't, just share a little bit about building the team.
Yeah, no, it was almost a point of disappointment amongst ourselves, to be honest with you, because we got to a point where we were growing and growing and really enjoying it. But the wheels, I mean, again, the wheels were coming off because we had grown so much and we didn't have enough people to specialize and understand the industry that our service was starting to wane. And we took a step back and we said, we can't grow. We're just not going to grow because we're not providing the CLA promise. That's all there is to it. We weren't getting to know them and we weren't helping them. And when that happened, we had to stop. So we stopped and we did an assessment of our needs. And that came from the executive committee really talking to us when I said, we're not going to grow. And they're like, whoa, wait a second. You're a machine. Keep going. It's like, no, it isn't right. And when we looked at it, I think we had about 12, 14 million in revenue. It was 14.7 million in revenue. And we had 24 people that were serving that dedicated.
That were dedicated
people.
To it. We had more people serving, but 24
right.
dedicated.
Right. We had about 400 serving at 24
My
that were
recollection,
dedicated.
We needed about 75 dedicated to handle things.
Correct.
So you had to connect quick
yep.
with offices and other industries and other parts and sell them.
Yep.
And build a team. So how many today?
We're at 64.
64.
That's quite 2.5 years.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about the successes, Don, but along the way, it couldn't have all been easy. Go back to a moment here, because there's individuals listening to this call, and this is larger than life. First proposal you present, you get the job.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, you get another one. They're saying, well, that's not realistic. And in some regards, it's not. So share with us some along the journey.
Yeah. You know, besides the stopping of growing, you know, the practice because we were out of people, there were points of trying to figure out how do we people were picking up business all over the place. And that meant we had a principal or a manager or working in a different industry, picking up a college because they were using the backbone of what we had built. So suddenly we had people that were doing work that probably, I won't say weren't qualified for it, but probably not providing the impact that they could. So that was one hurdle we had to get over, was bringing everything into the group of individuals that could handle the jobs and provide impact. What a difference maker in the industry, in the CPA industry, when you can come to a client, talk to them, in their language, and maybe even give them some snippets or solutions to some of their pain or problems without doing a lot of work. That's a differentiator. And I can tell you over and over again, we hear that when we serve our clients. And it's all about passion. We had a lot of people that didn't have passion that were doing the work. And we had to come to grips with, yes, we have 24 dedicated people, or before that it was 18, whatever the number was. But they really didn't care. And we were begging to have people come on, but we weren't finding the people with passion. And that passion drives the bus. And the people on the bus with that passion just make it glow.
So let me ask you a question, because there are many people listening to this podcast who are contemplating industry specialization. They're at a place in their career where they're sorting between a couple of different industries, or maybe they're getting asked by the leader of their office to take on a particular industry, or they may be being recruited by an industry group. Come on in, let's go. What advice, think of yourself, that the 8 or 9 year experience Don Loberg, who's asked to take on the higher ed clients, put yourself in their back there in their shoes. What advice do you have?
That's a great question. When I think back to 1999, when I theoretically took over the group, the one thing I wish I wouldn't have had going in was fear. Fear of failure. I mean, I'll tell you what, I tell our partners, our managers all the time, go ahead and fail. You learn from it. And I wish I would have had that in my head, that we don't win all the time. If I won 50% of our bids, we'd be at 40 million. So it's okay to fail. And have no fear. Jump in both feet. Because if you jump in both feet, the worst that's going to happen is you fail. And then you jump somewhere else. Or someone helps you move along. Which, you know, John, you and others would put your arm around my shoulders when I was ready to, you know, I needed to go somewhere and I needed to vent. And you guys would stop me and go, you're doing all right. Don't worry about it. We've all been through it. So that's the advice I would tell people. It's okay to fail and just jump in and try it. Because once you get in and you do it, your life becomes so much better.
Don, I want to thank you for being part of this podcast. And I want to speak to everyone within the earshot of my voice, because Don said some really impactful things. One of the things I wrote down was he said he loves the work, he loves his clients, he loves the industry, and he spoke frequently about passion. If I have any advice after listening to you, Don, and all of you listening to my voice, pursue your passion. Be willing to fail, as Don said. Live the CLA promise, because it creates the opportunities for you and for our clients that the promise demands. Thank you, Don, and thank you for listening, CLA family.
Thank you.